This is the Mike Shamari Show. We're taking a break from Christmas music today to talk to my final guest. He is the host of Dave's Gone By, Sunday nights at 11 Eastern on WGBB AM. This past Sunday, that show had its 200th episode.
Yay!
Yeah! He is also the editor and co-publisher for Performing Arts Insider, which turns 64 next month.
Yay!
Yay! As if that wasn't enough, he will be hosting a 3.5-hour WGBB special on New Year's Eve from 9 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
Yes. And he now hosts a show on WUSB FM early Friday mornings from 3 to 6:30 Eastern.
Yay.
A little slow there.
Do all your listeners get all that? I doubt it.
Yeah, well, after saying all that, please welcome for the fourth and final time to the Mike Shamari Show, Dave Lefkowitz.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be on, and I appreciate that you've made me your final guest. It feels so sad and terminal, and yet at least we can make it festive. We can, you know, it's a holiday.
Yes.
And we can look at all the fun stuff that you've done on the radio and the music and the guests that you've talked to.
Mm-hmm. You're the 68th and final interview overall, and we've had 48 guests. You're one of those 48.
Wow. And the best.
And the best.
But anyway, how do you feel about all this? I mean, I guess you're probably pretty sad about it, but...
Yeah, I am. But, you know, everything can't last forever.
And by the way, I do want to invite you. I guess I probably should have done this off the air, but if you want to stop by or call in to the New Year's show at GBB, because you were on there not that long ago,
mm-hmm.
Love to have you on the New Year's gig. So, you know, just for a few minutes, you know, you can call up and talk to the listeners or whatever you want to do. Stop on by. We might even have food.
I will call in.
Yeah, we're catering from Taco Bell, so it's going to be delish.
Yeah.
When we're keeping diarrhea buckets by the door.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, yes, congratulations on the 200th episode of Dave's Gone By.
Thank you, man.
Yes, you're welcome. Unfortunately, we're recording this interview just over a week before that episode, so I can't ask you how it went, but for all we know, it went well.
It's going to went wonderfully.
Yes. Let it went.
I'll tell you what's scheduled for it, because one of the interview is already done.
Okay.
That we're going to play on there, because it's right around Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
So Bruce Adler, he's an American actor, but he does a lot of Jewish and Yiddish roles, and has recently appeared, or may still be appearing, in a show called A Yiddish Vaudeville, and he's twice Tony nominated. Anyway, he's on the show with the one and only, I'll bet you can guess,
Rabbi Saul Solomon.
Rabbi Saul. There you go. He makes an appearance. Of course, he's going to be on my 200th show, interviewing Bruce Adler. Plus, we'll do some other stuff. I'll play some highlights over the past year or couple of years, and that should be a lot of fun. So I am really looking forward to that. And let's see. And it's been a very good, knock wood, year on Dave's Gone By. For the past couple of months, we've had a half-hour pre-show, which has been... nice, because I get to roll in. And so, you know the way WGBB works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if your listeners do, but you know, it's a little mill there, because as soon as one show ends, there's only one studio. So you have about 3 minutes between programs,
mm-hmm.
to get one bunch of people out with their discs, their CDs, with all their equipment, with everything they need to get them out of the room. Pull people into the room, have them sit down, get on mic, don't even have time to really test the levels, get the commercials done, and bam, they're on the air. So what's nice about having a pre-show is I just sort of get there with my co-host for that show, Jeff Goodman,
mm-hmm.
and we take it very mellow. We just talk, we goof around, we banter, and then at 11 o'clock we're right into it, and it just makes it I just feel much more comfortable having that little cushion, and
mm-hmm.
that's been fun. And we've been having that since, I guess, gosh, the early summer, which was neat. So, and we've had some, oh, by the way, you can stop me at any time, but I'm just rambling about my show.
It's fine.
Some good guests that we've had this year and recently. Just had Ray Jessel, who co-wrote a Broadway musical. He used to write for the Carol Burnett Show and The Love Boat, and now he's at age 72. Begun appearing as a cabaret performer, and he's very, very funny and very good. He was on last week. Who do we have? Daphne Rubin Vega, the actress who was in the original cast of Rent and is now in Les Mis. As always, you can never remember back more than a month, But I know we've had some wonderful guests. I think Christine Lavin was last year, but we've had... I have to go through a whole list. But you know what? Your listeners can, if they go to my website, plug, davesgoneby.org, and literally it gives a whole list from the very beginning of the show of every sketch we've done, every guest we've had, every person we've insulted and forced to jump into the river, every person we've shot, because we've killed people on the program. The police are still investigating. In fact, we fired about 58 shots 3 weeks ago, all at one person. But he was from the other station, so it was fine.
And also on Dave's Gone By, at davesgoneby.org, is the interviews that I've done with you in the past.
Oh, forgive me, of course. And hopefully this one, too, if they're still going to be online. I don't know.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Oh,
it'll
fantastic.
Be up at mikeshamari.com/interviews hours after this airs tonight.
So if this one is boring the hell out of you because I'm just rambling on, go on the other ones. They're really good.
They're all good,
thanks,
if you ask
man.
Me.
So, but as I said, that's been really good. The WUSB thing has been in the works for a couple of months. I had to do some training there to know their style and what their radio station is like. And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to be there because it's a free-form, college-related station, and there's more time that they give you. I don't just have an hour or an hour and a half. So you can really... You can breathe a little. You can stretch your wings. Because as you can tell, I'm the kind of person, put me in front of a microphone, and after 57 minutes, I'm just getting warmed up. I'm just getting started, especially if I've got music to play and an interview lined up. So when you have three and a half hours, then you can sort of take your time, be expansive, and have a little fun with the medium, and even the extra large. So that... Finally, been waiting weeks and weeks and weeks for them to see if they had a slot open. And they do. And, of course, they put all the newbies in the late night / early morning slot. So they have a Thursday night, late Thursdays, early Friday mornings from 3 till 6:30 in the morning, which is kind of nice. It goes into drive time, which isn't a bad thing. And with that amount of time, I wanted a guest host, so I grabbed my good friend Jeff Goodman, who's been co-hosting a lot of my regular Dave's Gone Bys for a couple of months now. And we just click. We just have this banter together. We're both, not to be vain or anything like that, but we're both pretty smart, pretty sharp. He's more jovial, more light, playful. I'm a little dark. I go for the zinger. I go for the ugly little bit in the news to try and explode that and make everybody go, oh, I can't believe he said that.
Well, you've done a couple of those so far in this interview.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please. Definitely. I haven't even made fun of that that dead guy in the bottom of the creek yet. But give me time.
Okay.
I have to work it into the conversation soon.
We're talking with Dave Lefkowitz here on The Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP, my last interview, and he's the last guest.
Oh.
Well, let's see. We talked about the 200th Dave's Gone By. We talked about the new show at WUSB FM.
Performance Insider, 64 years old.
That's where. Yay! Yes, yes. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, this is a magazine. I am not 64 years old.
No,
I'm not quite 43.
I was going to say you weren't there for all 64 years.
In spirit,
yes.
I was there at the founding in 1944 when these two war women were putting this thing together, which was simply a way of telling folks in the theater industry about what was playing on Broadway, what was coming up, and also how to get in touch with a lot of people involved, the producers and the agents and the managers and stuff like that. So about 4 or 5 years ago, I was brought into the mix by the current owner, who kind of wanted to move on and do other things. So he's now co-publisher, sort of emeritus, but still does some stuff, and we have a deal worked out, and I do all the work, and I don't mind because I love it. And it's grown into, after a whole redesign and an expansion, it is the place to find out what's happening, not just on Broadway, but off and off Broadway. We have cabaret listings, opera and dance listings for New York, but the main stuff is Broadway and off, where literally, not just the stuff you can get everywhere else of maybe the plot and who's in the cast and where it's playing, but how, again, this is for industry people, how do you get in touch with that actor if you want them to be on your program? How do you contact the producer? Let's say you own a theater out in Colorado, and there's a show that interests you, you want the tour. Well, how do you contact the people who are running the show? It's, all that stuff is in there. And people who just sort of like theater and aren't industry people enjoy it too, because it's fun to page through. It's information, but I think it's pretty fun to read. And it's 64 years old right now, as a matter of fact, and you can find out more about that at performingartsinsider.com. Yay!
Yay! And while we're on the subject of on and off Broadway, mm-hmm. what's the latest on Broadway?
Well, it's funny, whenever you ask me this question, it's like that other thing. The most recent things that you've seen are the ones that just jump out at you and mm-hmm. pop into your head. So on Broadway, just a couple of days ago, I saw the revival of Company, the George Firth, Stephen Sondheim classic mm-hmm. musical. And for the most part, liked it very, very much. Now, this is being staged by John Doyle, the same fella who did Sweeney Todd last year. And were you cognizant? Did you see it?
Have I seen Sweeney Todd? Or
well, I mean, this that particular revival.
Oh no, I haven't.
But you're familiar with the show?
Yes.
Cool. But the production last year, what was one of the things that was special about it was that it eschewed most of any kind of set design and most props. And the actors all played their own instruments. So it wasn't an orchestra pit. Literally, people would walk around on stage. When they weren't singing, they'd be playing and accompanying the other actors, all the while doing the whole story of Sweeney Todd. It was very, very effective. And I believe it won the Tony for Best Musical Revival, rightfully so. So the same London director did that for Sondheim's other musical, Company.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it works really, really well. The actors play their own instruments, except for the lead guy, where the whole point of the show is that this is a single man in his 30s who has yet to really make a commitment to a woman. Well, could be a man too, but a life partner. He sleeps with a lot of women, and he's got all these married friends, and he sees their marriages, and a lot of them are pretty miserable, but at the same time, they have a lot to recommend him. But the point of the musical is that he's on the fence. He cannot get out of himself enough to really give himself to another person and open himself up to that. So he's the only one who doesn't play an instrument until the very final song, when he sits down at the piano and sings one of Sondheim's masterpieces, Being Alive. And Raul Esparza plays Bobby in this edition of Company, and I think for the most part, he's sensational. You can't take your eyes off him, because his eyes are always telling you where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
A little movement of them makes you laugh out loud, or makes you worry that he's going to lose it a little bit. My only problem, and it's a big one with the revival, is that they treat it so seriously, and his standoffishness and his inability to commit, like it's Eugene O'Neill, so that by the end of it, he goes through, what's supposed to happen is at the end he's supposed to feel like, oh, I'm ready to love, I'm ready to connect, I'm ready to make that big step. Instead, you get a man who's basically on the verge of a nervous breakdown. And then you figure, wait a minute, before this guy even goes near a woman, he needs 2 weeks in a sanatorium and 3 weeks on a doctor's couch. And then there's other quibbles with the production, but it is captivating. And the music, of course, it's one of the great modern musical scores. But obviously, I don't want to spend the whole time here on Company, but that's certainly up there of things people should see. There's a revival rather quick of Les Mis, even though that only closed a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's a perfectly excellent revival of what just was. It's barely even a revival. In fact, they're fighting about it over at the Tonys, saying, look, this doesn't really count. It's the same damn thing. What else has opened recently? Butley. Now, that did not get particularly great reviews. That's the Nathan Lane is starring in that old Simon Gray play. And I had seen him do it in Boston a couple of years ago, and was not terribly impressed with him or with the play. I thought it didn't really go anywhere. It's just about this college professor whose life pretty much falls apart all in one day. Everything goes wrong. He loses his wife. He loses his gay lover. They don't die. They just dump him and move on. And he's having career troubles. And he's having troubles with the students that he's supposed to be tutoring. And so it all kind of doesn't seem to go anywhere. And I think if you just see it once, that might be the impression you get. But because I was able to see it before and then come back now to Broadway and see it 2 years later, I think it's a better piece than people are giving it credit for. And Nathan Lane has really grown into the role. And I do recommend it. I was surprised. I thought I would be bored out of my mind having to see it again. And this time I liked it so much more. So that's over at the Booth Theater. There's a revival of A Chorus Line that's quite good, because Chorus Line's always going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not particularly special, but it's good. Certainly, absolutely a must to bring young people who are interested in the theater. I mean, I'm not talking about four-year-olds, but 11-year-olds, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new Stoppard play that I haven't seen yet. They're reviving The Apple Tree with Kristen Chenoweth. Haven't seen that yet. Grey Gardens. That may be the one to beat for the Best Musical Tony this year. Have you heard about this one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's what it's about is these two sisters, and I'm unfortunately very bad with these genealogy things, but it's like Jackie Onassis-related women who were just on the cusp of high society, and if they had married well, they would have done just fine. But according to this, what happened was, it's a true story, they didn't marry well, and the mother kind of stunted the daughter. And instead of the daughter moving on and upwards and marrying a potential next president, instead they ended up living together for the rest of their lives in this increasingly run-down ex-mansion, so that by the second act, they're eating cat food, and there's just filth and junk all over the place, and it's really a disaster. But the music is quite good, and they trimmed the first act from when it was off-Broadway last season. So now the first act, I think, really works. I still think the second act is just a little too long. It's going over the same territory again and again. Oh, these two women living with each other, they can't live without each other, and they're driving each other crazy. And it doesn't really go anywhere, but, boy, the music is good, solid, well-crafted Broadway music in the post-Sondheim vein. So it's either going to be that, or there's a lot of good buzz about Spring Awakening, another off-Broadway musical that moved up this year, and that's got music and lyrics by Duncan Sheik, the pop singer, pop and folk idiom. And haven't seen that, but I've given a listen to the cast album, and it sounds pretty good.
Part 2 with Dave Lefkowitz, the final interview, is coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get back to Christmas music after this.